Time for a test. Hope I didn't bring up any bad memories for some of you. I know hearing that sometimes makes me begin to look for a pencil or to scramble. That's the title of my message this morning, is Time for a Test. We're going to look at James chapter 1 here in a little bit, but time for a test. In high school, I had a chemistry teacher. At the beginning of our semester class, he told us that he was there, of course, to teach us chemistry, but he said he was there also to prepare us for college and for life, he said. And so he said because he was going to prepare us for college, that at the end of the semester there would, of course, be an exam that would cover most of our grade, he said, so that we get used to the college style. But then he also said, since I'm preparing you for life, I'm going to give you a lot of tests throughout the semester. And he did. Everything from 2 questions to 5 questions to 10 questions. And those tests came randomly. I remember there was once we walked into class and he's sitting there waiting. And there was a test at each desk. Whether we were ready for it or not, there was a test. And then sometimes he'd teach for 15 minutes and then he'd close our books. Let's all take a test. And he told us, he said, that's how life is. He says it's filled with tests. Now, I don't even know if he was a believer or not. I was saved, but at that time I didn't go and ask teachers necessarily if they were saved. I don't know. I haven't seen him since I was in high school. But I think he had a good understanding of life. He knew that life would be filled with troubles and trials and tests and different adversities and difficulties. And this morning, we're going to talk about tests and their purpose for believers. They do serve a purpose. God has allowed them. And we can be blessed through our test or trial. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading. We're going to start with verse 1, but our text will be verses 2 through 4. And it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and for this passage, and I pray this morning as we look at this portion of the scriptures, I pray that you'll just help us to just be sensitive to your leading. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll work in our hearts today in each one of us and provide whatever spiritual teaching or conviction or challenge or comfort, whatever is necessary today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just give you 3 thoughts on testing. Time for a test. We're going to look that tests are diverse. They're different. And they're different for each one of us. Then we're going to look how tests are disclosing. They reveal some things when we're tested. And then thirdly, we're going to see how they develop us. You know, tests are for a purpose. They're not just there to... the Lord's not there just to see us struggle or want us to fall or fail. These tests in life serve a purpose. Let's talk about the diversity of tests. Now, that Greek word for tests here, he says, my brethren, count it all joy, not tests, but for temptations. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The Greek word for temptations means putting to proof. In other words, by experimenting. A test is what he's saying here. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or tests. We sometimes call them adversities or difficulties or troubles or trials. Basically, this word implies a testing for verification. It's what it implies. You know, the believers during this time were tested greatly. Some of them were even persecuted for their faith, and some of them had to even make a decision, life or death, because of their faith. So they were tested greatly at this time. Now, when you think of testing, you know, I guess I could ask the question. You don't have to raise your hand. Are you being tested right now? Do you have troubles? Do you have adversity? You know, we probably all would raise our hand. We all have different decisions we might have to make, different trials or different troubles. And every trial is a test of our faith as a believer. Every trial is a test of our faith. Not necessarily if we're saved or not, but how strong our faith is. How close our walk with God is. You know, this morning I'll give you 2 thoughts on the diversity of tests. First, tests are different. They're diverse. They're various is what the Bible is telling you. And that's what he says there. Count it all joy. And we're going to talk about the joy here in a minute. When you fall into diverse temptations. That word for diverse means various. Count it all joy when you have all these different tests and these different afflictions and these troubles and these trials. You know, troubles come in many different packages. Sometimes they're packaged as unmet expectations. Something just didn't go the way we thought that'd go. It didn't go the way we thought it'd go at work. It didn't go the way we thought it'd go with our family or with our friends. It just didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out or thought it'd work out. And because of that, it just becomes a test to us. an adversity, a trial, or a difficulty. Sometimes failure. We make a mistake at work, or we think something's a failure. You know, we don't have to necessarily make a mistake. We can think that we made a mistake. We can believe we have failed at something, and then all of a sudden that's a test of our faith. That's a test of our walk with God. Another thought here on this is, how about persecution of any kind? Whether it's verbal, of course physical persecution, but even verbal sometimes can discourage us and be a test of our faith. Misunderstandings, loss, there's a whole list. You know, tests come in all different sizes and packages. You know, when you think of it, technology has advanced, but troubles remain. You know, I thank the Lord for our technology. I'm so glad that we can hop online and get information. You know, you just have to go through a phone book. Now, some still might go through a phone book, but you don't have to if you don't want to. Some of you have your phone. You can hop on in a few seconds, and now I don't encourage you to tell me what's going on in the world right now, but you could if you wanted to. That's technology. But you know, troubles are still with us. We can't get rid of those. No matter how well our technology has advanced or will advance, we will still have problems in this world. We'll still have some troubles, some adversity, some trials, some difficulties, and it's just part of living in this world of sin. Also, tests do not discriminate. They're diverse, and they do not discriminate. You know, it would be nice if the Lord gave us a certain amount of tests and said, when you're done, you're done. I'm not going to give you any more. That's not how it works either. And I don't know about you, but the Lord didn't ask me for when I wanted my trials or my tests. He allows them when He chooses to allow them, or they come in at different times, and we just have to be prepared for them. All believers, everyone sitting here this morning, will deal with a trouble or a trial or an adversity of some kind. This morning, some of you may be dealing with one right now, and it's probably different than the person sitting behind you or the person sitting in front of you. It's your trial, it's your adversity, and by the way, this morning, if it's yours, it's real. And if it's yours, it's big. Yeah, as your pastor, I don't want to minimize your trials because it's yours. It's part of your life. And so this morning, we all have difficulties. We all have trials. I was reading where one man, the late pastor W.B. Riley, said this: the man who thinks he can pass through this life without any trials neither understands his own nature or the environments that he lives in. You know, it's true. If we think we can just get through this life without any problems, then we're, I guess, fooling ourselves. And that's, the Bible doesn't want us to fool ourselves. God wants us to understand that there's going to be some troubles in life and some trials. So we're not to look for difficulties. There's a difference between looking for them and then just dealing with them. We can find them if we're not careful, by where we place ourselves, what we do, where we go, by our conduct. So we're not to look for difficulties, but we are to be prepared to deal with them. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter here, I think, shares with us how to deal with some difficulties. You know, you think of Peter, that's a man who dealt with some troubles. Some of them were of his own making because he was just rash and he took off and would do things. But some of them were because the devil, as Jesus said, desired to sift him as wheat. The devil wanted to destroy him and wanted to ruin his life. You know, he dealt with a lot of problems. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 6. He says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know, this morning, Peter is basically saying, first off, be prepared. He talks about, the devil as a roaring lion. But before he gets to that point, he says, cast all your cares upon God. Give them to the Lord. Any cares, any troubles, any concerns, go give them to God. And I like to remind you, whenever I read this verse, I like to remind you that word for casting, it's not just setting. You know, we set things sometimes. You can pick it up and set it here. For example, my Bible, I can just set it here. That word is not referring to setting something down. It's referring to throwing something on a pile. Something, like just heaving it on there and throwing it on there. That's how we're to give our burdens to the Lord, our problems, our cares, our concerns. And you know, sometimes I imagine that's all we can do. We just fall on our knees and say, "Here it is, God. I can't do nothing with this. I can't get out of this. I don't know the direction to go in this. Will you please help me out?" Just cast them on Him and let Him carry them and let Him help you and guide you. That's what this teaches us. So we need to be prepared to seek His help with our problems. And then also we just need to pay attention. I read the story of a pastor who had a member in his church who had a problem. This is about 100 years ago, had a problem with alcohol. And he was saved and he came out of that, but he still struggled with that. Well, the house he lived on, the street down the street was the church, and in between the church and his house was a saloon. Every time he'd go by, he'd struggle, of course, and sometimes he'd make it to church, sometimes he wouldn't make it home after church. I think you know what I mean on that. He'd fall to the temptation. Well, he went to his pastor one day and said, "Pastor, I have a problem with this." And he goes, "And the problem is it doesn't hit me till every Sunday when I'm on my way to church or on my way home after church." His pastor looked and said, "Have you ever thought about going down the other side of the street? Or maybe taking a different route?" And the story goes that the man said he'd never thought about it. You know, sometimes we can just place ourselves in a position where we can bring problems into our life. It can become discouraged. We can bring affliction. Let's make sure that the affliction that is in our life is because the Lord's allowed it and not because we've produced it with either our attitude or our conduct or just by where we're going. You know, sometimes just being in the wrong place at the wrong time can get us into some trouble or tempt us and cause us to stumble, fall, say some things we didn't mean to say, act in a way that we would not normally act. So let's just pay attention to that. Let's pay attention to our surroundings. He says, Peter here said, talks about the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, Paul told the church there, he said, walk circumspectly. Basically saying, pay attention to what's around you, what's going on. You know, as believers, we do have the power to overcome sin, but we also have the responsibility to make sure we're walking with God. And that we are seeking Him and that we're staying away from those things that can get us into trouble. So we find here that as far as tests, they're diverse. Now let's go back to our passage here, James chapter 1. He says here in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith," he says, "worketh patience." The trying of your faith. I want to talk about next is how tests will disclose or reveal. If you want to use the word reveal, it will reveal our faith. You know, I think a test or a trial will reveal more up front than it will build. It builds later. We're going to talk about building and preparing. But at first, it's going to reveal some things. You know what it's going to disclose? It's going to disclose our affection. What we love and whom we love as far as God or this world. You know, it says here, it talks about faith. That the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, the tests are testing our faith, is what he's saying here. If you're saved, you're already saved, but your faith is being tested. If it's strong faith or if it's weak faith. You see, it's going to reveal our faith in God when we have a test or a trial in our life. Now, the true believer, someone who loves God, and say, I'm not going to say that we're always going to make the right decisions or that a test isn't going to sometimes just stop us in our tracks or cause us to doubt a little bit, but I believe the true believer will continue with God. At times, it may be a little bit slower than other times because we're just struggling. But I think the true believer will continue with God. If someone is saved and they have that faith in God, even though all seems hopeless, even though everything appears to be bleak or dark, the true believer will continue with God because there's a love in their heart for God. You know, sometimes trials, I think, separate true believers from unbelievers sometimes. Yeah, persecution does that. I tell you what, it's a lot different to say I'm a Christian when someone is asking you and it's about ready to be some severe persecution for answering yes. You see, sometimes trials will separate believers from unbelievers. You see, a true believer will continue with God. I think someone who has maybe just a profession necessarily or maybe just, a religious, they may be more apt to quit, more apt to go a different direction. So we find that our faith is strengthened or our faith is revealed. Someone once said that if we value comfort more than we do character, then trials are going to upset us. Here's another thought. I'll give you an illustration on this. There's a pastor named John Watson several years ago. He's a Scottish pastor. He visited one of the men in his church. He found out one of the men in his church who had a business. There was a financial crisis in his business. Well, he didn't see the man for a couple weeks. Found out the man was really, really discouraged. He swung by and made a visit and he opened the door, knocked on the door, and the man opened the door and saw him and said, "Pastor, come on in." He goes, "I got to tell you what's going on." He goes, "Everything's gone." He just kept saying, "Everything's gone." And he hadn't washed in days. His hair was all disheveled. And he just sat down, held his head in his hand, said, "Everything's gone. Everything's gone." And the pastor, John Watson, looked at him. He said, "I'm sorry to hear that your wife has died." The man said, "What?" He goes, "No, my wife has died. She's fine." And he goes, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that your character in this city has been ruined and you can no longer make a living here." He goes, "No, nothing's wrong with my character." Well, the pastor kept saying, you know, given some valuable assets, said, "I'm sorry you lost this." And the man several times said, no. And then the pastor looked. He finally had enough, I think. And he looked at this man and sternly said, he goes, "I thought you lost everything." And the man got quiet, and then Pastor John Watson looked. He said, "Brother, come to your senses. You've lost nothing worthwhile. You're just being tested." You know, this morning, what happens when we're tested is we're reminded of what's important. We find out where our affection is. And I'm going to tell you, all of us, even if we've been saved for years, it's easy to put our affection in the wrong place. It's easy to begin to look to things of the world a little bit more than to the things of God. And it's easy, you know, when we lose those things, to sometimes things, everything is lost, like this gentleman here. And we need to be reminded that it's not lost. We serve a God who can give all those things back if He would choose to. You see, the things that are worthwhile are revealed when we're tested. Also, I think it discloses our attitude when we're tested. Because notice what it says here. And if we find it here, he says in verse 2, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." You know, I was a teenager, and we're hearing a message on this, and it just confused me. How in the world, or why should someone be happy when they're tested? It did. I mean, but I was immature, obviously. Some days I still wonder a little bit, but it says here we should count it all joy that we're being tested. Now, let's face it. Sometimes our attitude is lousy when we're tested. We become irritable. We can be miserable to be around. The Bible says, one, we should never be that way, even when we're tested. Even when we're tested, we should remain joyful. Now, that's difficult. But here's some thoughts I'll give to you on this. First, I think as we see in this passage, temptations should be viewed with joy because when they are overcome, our faith is strengthened. Because notice what it says here in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We're going to talk about patience here in a minute. There's a purpose to the tests that God allows us to go through. And that's why we should have some joy in our heart, that God is working in our life, that God is actually taking a part in our life and strengthening us and preparing us. You see, it's not the trial that we rejoice in. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to rejoice in the trial. It tells us to have joy in that trial, knowing that God is working patience in our life and strengthening us. Why do people test drive a car? I don't know if anyone's purchased a car recently or thought about purchasing a car. But why do they test drive a car before purchasing it? To make sure it runs correctly. That's the reason. To make sure that everything runs correctly. And if they're a mechanic, they'll test other stuff. But if they're not a mechanic, they'll at least drive it and make sure that it runs correctly. Maybe even take it to a mechanic to look at it. It's a test drive is what they call it. It's a test. Don't you believe God does the same with us? Think about this. He tests us to make sure we run correctly. Now, I know we're not engines. But think on this. God will test us, or He may test us to ensure that we're living for Him. You know, the Lord knows more about us than we do. The Lord is able to look down upon our life. First off, the Lord knows the direction we're going, and He knows if we're heading for trouble. The Lord knows our motives and our hearts. And you know, if we're honest, we also know there are times where the Lord needs to put us back on the right path. We can become selfish. We can become stubborn. We can have some pride in our heart. And there are times the Lord may allow an affliction. It may not be a large affliction, but it may be a trouble or a trial or a test that will get us to focus back on Him, take our eyes off our problems, take our eyes off the world maybe that we may have set some undue affection on, and say, "God, Your will. I'm going to look to You again. I'm going to follow after You." You see, basically, I think sometimes we're tested to make sure we love Him more than we love this world that we're living in. That we're looking to Him. Kind of like testing a car, make sure it runs right. We're tested to make sure things are running right in our life. And it'll produce a selfless attitude where we're seeking God's glory and not our own. You see, troubles will draw believers closer to God. You know, when I go through a trouble or a trial, I tend to pray more. And not only pray more, but I'll admit my prayers are a little bit more serious. Now that's to my shame. I'm not bragging about that. I should pray seriously all the time. But troubles tend to cause us to hit our knees a little bit more, a little bit longer, and sometimes with more earnestness because we have something that has really affected us that we need some help with. And that's what trials will do. That's what tests will do. They'll draw us closer to God. Also, tests will, I think, produce stronger faith. That's what he's talking about here, testing of your faith. See, we'll look to God and have confidence in Him. You know, faith grows when we know we can't do anything. And it's out of our hands. It's in God's hands. And we have to trust God. You know, joy is not a result of facing trials. But I think it's the result of the work, knowing that God is going to work in our life and that God is going to give victory. And because of this, we're not to become discouraged. Don't become discouraged when you're tested or afflicted or tried, whatever word you want to use this morning. Don't become discouraged and quit. Don't become angry or bitter. Don't become resentful or mope around thinking everything is lost. Put your confidence in God. Trust in the Lord. Allow Him to work in your life. And that leads us into our third thought. These are going to run together. Here's the third one. The Lord allows tests to develop our life, to develop our faith, and as we'll see, to work patience. Verse 4. At the end of verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now here's where we get to the main point of our message as far as what this leads to, the trials and the tests. It produces or it develops patience in our life. Patience. One man put it this way. He said, that's cheerful endurance. You may not like it, but you're going to endure it. And you're going to be cheerful about it. You see, that's what patience is. Waiting, waiting, waiting on God. Whether you're waiting in prayer, whether you're waiting for an answer, whether you're waiting on direction, whether you're waiting on a door to open or a door to close, whatever it may be, you're willing to wait on God. And this test that you may be in, this trial that you may be facing, is producing that patience that God wants you to have in Him, that trust in Him. Now, patience is the ability to continue when you're opposed or when things are not working out. Also, patience is ability to remain joyful when you're tried or when you're tested, to put a smile on your face. Now, everyone can smile. We can all smile, and sometimes a smile is just on the outside. But you know, patience produces joy within, knowing that God's working. And then that smile can come on our face even when we're having a difficult time, because we know God is working in our life. Here's some thoughts, I think, for you this morning on developing. I think if we're going to have this patience and we're going to have this joy in our life, we must first submit to God. You see, that's what tests do and trials do. I guess they sort of break our will. If we have any pride, it humbles us. And we must submit to God. And we have to allow that trial or that test to strengthen our faith. You see, we need to refuse the urge to fight against God. You know, there are times, and as believers, I'm not saying that we do an all-out fight against God, but we can get upset. We can say, God, why are you allowing this in my life? It's not fair. I didn't want this. I didn't plan on this. It wasn't supposed to happen this way. And so we need to refuse the urge to become angry with what God has allowed in our life or the direction He's allowed us to go. And we need to refuse the urge to doubt God as well. You know, that can happen too. We can get to the point where we wonder, and we may say, God, you know what you're doing? And you may not say it that way, but in the heart we can begin to wonder. You see, those doubts can come in when we're tested. And we need to refuse those. We just need to submit our will to the Lord, continue living, and trust that God is strengthening our faith through this trial and through this test. You know, that's what tests will do. They strengthen. Let me give you an illustration of this. During World War II, several enlisted men were sent to Florida for training. They went down there to train. I've never been to Florida. This is the furthest south. Well, I've been down to Mississippi in the summer, and that's hot. From my understanding, Florida is really hot in the summertime. They went down there in the summertime and it was hot. And the daily routine was intense as far as the physical training. They'd get them up early in the morning, send them out, and these men would train. They're preparing to go into battle, some of them. And they ended the day, each day, they ended with an obstacle course towards late afternoon. And on that obstacle course, the last section had a large pool of water that the men had to jump on a rope and they had to swing across and land across and then go finish the course and they were done. Well, most of the men didn't make it across the water. They would land at the edge. And as far as this is concerned, these men that went down, I guess a group of them, also discovered that the water was a lot cooler than anything else. So they, on hot days, would drop off halfway and land in the water and then swim out and finish their course. Well, that went on for several days. And of course, many of their commanding officers were beginning to get upset and were punishing them, but the temptation was too great. These men would continue to do it. Well, one morning a lieutenant got up and he called several men and they took off. Nobody knew where they went. He went away for the morning and was gone most of the day. And when he returned, he made sure everyone saw him and the other men because they had an alligator and they put it in that pool. And the man who told the story said, he goes, nobody got wet again. You see, there was a little bit of adversity. You see, those men found out that they could get across there without any problem. They could endure the heat a little bit more. They didn't have to jump in there. You see, sometimes even little adversities, little tests or trials can point us in the right direction or cause us to do some things we didn't think we could do. And that's why I think the Lord sometimes will allow those into our life to strengthen us, strengthen our faith, strengthen our walk with God, so we'll look to Him. So we just have to be patient and let patience work. You notice He says here, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we have to let patience have her perfect work. Now there are some who are mistaken here. I've read where someone, I'm going to clear this up, where they see perfect and they think sinless perfection. And I want to clear this up. That word perfect is not referring to sinless perfection. Actually, it means complete or full is what it means. You know what we find here basically is the Christian who is patient is going to be complete. They're going to mature. That's what they're going to do. That's what tests do. They help us grow up. That we mature in the Lord as we are tested and as we're tried. We mature and our spirituality grows in the Lord. You know, that's one of the things about tests. You know, when you take a test, it'll reveal what you know, but it'll also teach you what you don't know. You know, I've taken tests where I knew I had the answer wrong, but I wanted to figure it out. So I went, even though I missed it later, I went and figured it out, so that way next time it wouldn't get me. You see, when we fail a test, maybe you fail a driving test, you go and study harder so you can go back and you can pass it that next time. You see, that's what tests challenge us to do. They challenge us to grow. And in this case, I believe it says here that you may be perfect and entire, he says, wanting nothing. You know, the goal of testing is not to destroy us, but to help us to grow. Patience leads basically to satisfaction. You know, we've grown in the Lord. We're patient now because of these trials. In other words, we're content with God's direction. We're no longer discontent. Because we are trusting God to lead and to guide and direct. And that's what trials in life often do. They build our strength and they build our faith. You know, you think of those that run, maybe a marathon runner. They run a long distance. You know, the goal of a runner is not endurance, but the finish line. Now, they need endurance to get there. And they may build up the endurance as they're training. But their goal is not just to get endurance. Their goal is to get to the finish line. That's how it is. You know, that's why we can go forward with joy, knowing that the trials that come into our life, they're not trials that are, we're not rejoicing because we're being tried. We're rejoicing and we have joy because we know God is working. And at the end, we're going to be a complete, mature Christian. You see, the Lord is building up our faith, strengthening our faith as we live for Him. So the goal is not endurance, but it's perfection. And I think we find that tests produce patient, content, and joyful Christians. Did you get that? Tests, trials, difficulties. They produce patient, content, and joyful Christians. You know, what we have here, basically, the Bible is telling us tests are good for us. Adversity is good for you. You know, we may not like it, but God is working through that to build us up, to strengthen us, to draw us closer to Him. You know, that's why we should rejoice. We go back to the beginning of this, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, guess what? When you fall into these various tests in life, and by the way, they're all going to be different, come at different times, different than the person behind you, in front of you. He says, count it all joy. Rejoice. Because this is going to build you up. This is going to strengthen you. This is going to prepare you for something else. Maybe a work that God has for you. Maybe the Lord something has planned that He's not going to bless you with until He prepares you for that blessing. You see, that's what we need to count it all joy. You know, in closing, here's some thoughts. Many of the men and women of the Bible were tested greatly. I find it so interesting when you read of the men of the Bible. We talk of men of faith and women of faith. You know, many of them were not given great blessings until they were tested. I think they needed to be prepared. You think of Daniel in the Bible. That man was given great wisdom. That man was given great knowledge as far as the future and prophecy. But you know what's so interesting about Daniel? It wasn't given to him when he was a young man. You know what was given to him when he was a young man? It was tests and trials. Adversity. I mean, he was taken off to a foreign country as a slave, as a prisoner, never to return to his homeland again. And there he went through test after test after test. I think the Lord was preparing him, is what the Lord was doing. And you know, I could go through the Old Testament, even the New Testament, we find other men and women the same way. You think of Esther, you think of Joseph, all these men and women that were tested and tried, and God blessed them later. You know, this morning, when we go through our tests in life, When God says it's time for a test, who knows, maybe tomorrow morning you may wake up and something's going to happen. It's time for a test. God says it's time for a test, then rejoice. Rejoice, because God is going to teach you, God is going to strengthen you, and your patience will not only be strengthened, but as it says here, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Be content in the Lord.